This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's hump day, and I am so unreasonably excited for tonight's show for a couple different reasons. We are going to discuss, yes, the beginning of the end of the Ukraine-Russia war. Putin's involved, Zelensky's upset, Europe's upset, everyone on the left's upset, Trump's trying to work out a deal while also scolding Zelensky. There's so much to talk about when it comes to that war. Some of it may offend you. I'm warning you right now. We're going to have a hard talk tonight. I'll get to that in a moment. That's coming. Democrats are so lost, they're now stuck running sob stories about fired federal workers nobody cares about. There's a terrible idea coming out of this administration about sending some money back to the American people. I'll make everyone mad when I discuss that. The budget process is coming. That's going to be horrific. Emails, all that. So much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's talk. Because this is obviously going to eventually get to Russia, Ukraine, us, Zelensky, Trump, Putin. If this is going to get there, that's where we're going. But let's talk about life. Black and white. And gray, if you will. The United States of America. If you had to choose our finest moment, our finest accomplishment, what would it be? Just off the top of your head, real quick, what would it be? You probably said World War II. And, oh, you did, Chris? Chris did. That's amazing. Even if you didn't. If you went and asked 100 people at the mall, random people, not right, left, middle, you asked them, what was America's finest hour? What was America's biggest accomplishment? They will say World War II. And I'm not saying you're wrong, keep in mind. But it's understandable. So let's talk about why. World War II, in Americans' minds, is our finest hour. The greatest generation. The greatest moment. Because, well, there's a lot of reasons for it. But one of the main reasons was this. We took on not one, but two indefensibly evil empires. And we won. And we smashed those empires to dust. Removed them completely to power and got them away from the rest of the world. We look at ourselves as world saviors for World War II. And I'm not saying we're necessarily wrong about that at all. I'm not saying we're wrong about that. Okay, that's good. We're probably all together so far. Now, Japan. We'll stick with Japan. Germany, the same thing applies, but we'll stick with Japan for now. The strategic bombing campaign of Japan. Did you know? Look, we look back on it now, and I realize it's still debated. Should we have dropped the atom bomb, all those other things? But did you know that bombing Japanese cities, which we bombed virtually all of them, everyone knows about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we reduced all of them to dust. We burned Tokyo to the ground, burned it down. We firebombed it, napalmed it, burned it to the ground. Did you know that even at the time, it was a cause of great debate inside American politics, inside the American military. People didn't feel comfortable. A lot of people didn't feel comfortable. Do I bomb this city? This factory's in the city, but there's a neighborhood right by it, and nothing's accurate. Women and children will die. Should we do it? Yeah, we have to do it. No, we shouldn't do it. But why were we even having this discussion? Because the United States of America decided. It decided that unconditional surrender, you've heard that term many times before in your life, unconditional surrender was how the war with Japan must end. Unconditional surrender. You don't get to come and bring terms. You don't get to say anything. You will have no say whatsoever in your future or the future of Japan. You will come before me, the United States of America. You will prostrate yourself before me, and you will stand there at my mercy, and I will tell you how everything is going to go, and you have no say. That's what unconditional surrender is. And after we pounded Japan to powder, including a double dose of an atom bomb, Japan finally relented. I'm not doing a revisionist history of World War II. I'm not even criticizing any of that. But that was how World War II ended. That's how we came to an unconditional surrender. How in the world do you get a people with strong morale like the Japanese? How do you get them to throw themselves at your feet? You incinerate a million or two of them. Eventually, you kill enough people, cause enough starvation and death, you will get somebody to surrender eventually. Now, we're not doing a World War II history talk here. This is about today. This is very, very, very much about today. Because here's the thing. Remember when I just asked you, what was our finest moment? And you probably said World War II. If you didn't, your 10 buddies did. World War II, World War II. We love World War II because of what we accomplished as a country. And we should be proud of that. We should be proud of that. And as part of that, because of our reverence, look, I've been talking World War II all week. I'm the same. I'm not separating myself from it. Our reverence for World War II, America, the heroism, our manufacturing, the everything. Because of our reverence for World War II, how it was fought and how we ended it, unconditional surrender has become lumped in with how Americans think wars are supposed to be fought, and frankly, how they've always been fought. No matter who you are fighting, whether you're fighting Al-Qaeda, whether you're fighting the Russians, the Chi-Coms, whether you're fighting Japan, Germany, whatever, whoever you happen to be fighting. Now, the drug cartel wars are coming. No matter who you are fighting, I'm an American. And as an American, the only thing I will accept is unconditional surrender. After all, that's what we did in World War II. It's how people think about things. But we have to always step back and get some perspective. One, most wars, almost every war in the history of the world has ended with a negotiated peace. Not unconditional surrender, a negotiated peace where one side, even the winning side, gets together with the losing side. And look, is the losing side going to give some things up? You bet. You lost, of course. But the losing side doesn't have to give up everything. In fact, it's rarely even asked for. Hey, you're going to give up some of this territory. You're going to have to give us this. I'm going to need, like, if we're going historically, I'm going to need some hostages. So your daughter is going to come live with me in the castle in case you get out of line. But look, we came to a negotiated surrender. Now, we don't like to speak like this because it involves negotiating with people who have done wrong and who may have even wronged us. And because war is so terrible, there's so much raw emotion around it. If you've been involved in it, if you've seen it, if you've smelled it, if you've heard it, the blood and the guts and the tears and the loss and the misery. And when you have suffered things like that at the hands of someone else, another country, another tribe, whatever it may be, it sounds awful to think that you might have to go sit down at a negotiating table with them and give them things. Allow them to have things? No, you killed my friend. You bombed my town. My mom is gone. You don't get anything ever. War without end. But that's your emotion talking. And that is not how wars have ended. Even the most horrible, drawn out, bloody wars whether it was with sticks and stones, bows and arrows, swords and shields, or whether it's with bombs, bullets, machine guns, and the like, the most terrible, agonizing, awful wars generally end where both sides realize, hey, people are dying. This is expensive. This is awful. In the interest of both of our countries, let's sit down, begin negotiations, and hash out a negotiated peace. And that is a hard thing to swallow for a lot of people, particularly a lot of Americans who, again, bring back our reverence for World War II. No, Hitler, you will leave. No, Japan, get down before me and surrender. We take that into every war now, but that's not generally how the world works. And that's not how war works. And historically, that's not how things end. They don't end that way. We'll talk a lot more about this in just a moment. Before I talk about that, I hope things don't end for you in a dark parking lot someday with a bad man trying to murder you. I hope things don't end for your wife like that. She ran to the grocery store tonight. What's she going to do when that 200-pound beast tries to assault her as she's loading the bread into the trunk? Is she going to be able to stop him? What does she have on her that will stop him? The burn a pistol launcher will stop him. When your daughter hears the glass break tonight at 2 a.m., what's she going to grab that will stop him? The burn a pistol launcher will stop him. Burna is legal in all 50 states because it's non-lethal. No permit needed, no background check needed. Shoots pepper balls, tear gas balls, a mixture of the two. You just order it and they'll deliver it to you. It'll save your freaking life. SWAT teams carry it for a reason. Do you think your daughter should? BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse saves you a bunch of money. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a wonderful hump day. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, speaking of World War II and Americans framing everything around that, we've also completely rewritten the history of World War II, completely rewritten. We've censored out the things we don't like, left in the things we do. Listen to this complete moron. This is a United States Senator, Chris Van Hollen. Listen to this.
Right now, but what they did in Munich with...
Just a response, just to set this up. This is in response to Trump saying, yeah, look, hey, Zelensky's going to have to give up some things and some minerals to us for all the money we spent and things like that. He owes us that money. We didn't just give him all that stuff. And this is what a United States senator said.
Right now, but what they did in Munich with President Zelensky was primarily to bully them, right? The Secretary of Treasury handed him a piece of paper that essentially required Ukraine to hand over about 50% of its mineral reserves to the United States, simply in payment of the support that we've already given, which we've given because they were a democratic country attacked by Putin and the Russian forces. I mean, can you imagine FDR in the middle of World War II saying to Churchill, you know, we're not going to continue to help you until you turn over half of your coal and mineral reserves?
Do you have any idea how much of the British Empire was handed to the United States of America because of the new American Lend-Lease program? Are Americans so dumbed down now about the basic facts of history that we think we were just handing Britain a bunch of equipment to fight the war without payment at all? Did you know that the British Empire had to hand to us bases all over the world that were formerly theirs? No. I know the present United States of America is run by a bunch of morons who believe the United States of America only exists to enrich themselves and so they can grab gobs of American gold and throw it around the world wherever they so please. But that is not how nations are run. When you get involved helping somebody, whether they're a friend or not, they have to return the favor in some way, and that's exactly how it was done during World War II. Oh, Churchill, you're in some trouble. You need some help. Wow, that sucks. I feel bad. We will help you. What are you going to give me? That's how things are done. That's how it's always been done. But again, World War II has so twisted the minds of Americans who will only look at everything through that lens that we don't acknowledge the way the world actually works. Wars end with negotiated peace. And we have, and this is totally understandable because I'm the same way, we have this Marvel movie way of looking at almost everything where the good guy always wins and the bad guy always loses and the good guy will ride off into the sunset with the girl in a nice house and the bad guy will be vanquished forever. That's how we want the world to work because we want the good guy to win and we don't want the bad guy to have a single thing. That's not what we like. We want black and white, but in the real world, Iron Man sits down at a negotiating table with Thanos and they work something out. I know that's crazy. I know it sounds unpalatable. I don't want to have to work with bad guys. But life is working with bad guys. I work with Chris every single day. Remember that. So what's happening right now? What's happening right now is... Well, I do think it would be helpful to do a little bit of background, just very brief, because I know you know most of this. The United States of America engineered a coup in Ukraine in 2014. Joe Biden was involved in that coup. We did. Your opinion on it is not important to me at all. We did. Everyone knows it. It's a documented fact. We ousted their government and replaced it with the government we wanted. Obviously, you don't have to think very hard about why we did that. We got a lot of things for that. Worked out well for Hunter Biden, didn't it? But anyway, that aside, we ousted their government, and now we have what they currently have. One of the most corrupt countries on the planet. Okay, fine. Russia, Ukraine. Russia was mad about that whole thing, I should note. The coup that we engineered in 2014... Putin was very, very angry about the whole thing for a variety of reasons. Ukraine is rough around the edges. Putin is rough around the edges, to put it mildly. Bad human being, not defending Putin. Putin decides he's going to invade Ukraine because the historically Russian parts of Ukraine, and I don't even know if I'm comfortable saying that, it's just an area where lines are always redrawn. Again, negotiated pieces have happened a million times in this area. We'll fight about this, and then you're going to have to give me that, but we'll fight about this, then you'll give me that. There's a tradition, you know, traditionally Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine. Putin said, these are my people. I want them under my umbrella. Putin launches an invasion. This was 3 years ago. And for 3 years, these two sides, I don't really care for either of them, to be honest with you, have lobbed artillery rounds and drones at each other, and they've butchered hundreds of thousands of men in their own countries. A terrible, terrible, terrible affair. Every part of it has been awful. If you've seen any of the video about it, it's awful. World War I, World War II levels of awful. It's just so far from us, it doesn't have that personal touch, if you will. Now, the Biden administration. In fact, no, pause on that. We'll get to the Biden administration in a moment. Before we get to that, history can be hard to get into unless you get the right teacher. I'll put it to you that way. You know, I never liked history. Sixth grade, I have the right teacher walk in the classroom and tell me histories about stories. And he told me stories and made history come alive for me. You know, Hillsdale College can teach you about history in a way that you enjoy. I've said it many times. Nobody dislikes history. People just think they do because they never found the right teacher. Hillsdale has more than 40 free online courses right now. Want to learn about the Constitution? It's super interesting. 12 courses, mega interesting. Want to learn about the Roman Republic, its rise and fall? Do you want these things to be interesting? You think Hillsdale could make it interesting? They do. This is for me. I love it. Love it. No cost. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse and nerd out on history with me. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. That was all the background on some World War II mentality and the Russia-Ukraine stuff and the lead-up into it. And now Joe Biden gets elected. And I'm actually not going to do a bunch of Joe Biden corruption CIA stuff because that doesn't matter. But what does matter right now is during the 4 years of the Joe Biden presidency, Ukraine had an open checkbook of American money. They did. And Zelensky embraced it, obviously. He's over here addressing Congress. We have senator after senator, including useless barnacle United States Senator John Cornyn from the state of Texas, who needs to be primaried next year. We have all these senators just doing photo ops with them, American actors going over there. We even sent Randy Weingarten, communist John Denver, over to Ukraine to do a photo op. It became the du jour of the day. Zelensky, look how great Zelensky is. Zelensky, you could have whatever you want, all the bombs, bullets, just take it. And remember, Mitch McConnell got in on this, too. It was complete uniparty swamp nonsense. Mitch McConnell standing in front of the microphone telling everyone it's the most important thing in the world. Joe Biden, who apparently was unable to read poll numbers, routinely would get up and brag about all the money and equipment we were sending over there. A complete one way of thinking. And Zelensky loved it, obviously. We bankrolled 4 years of butchery. Well, 3 years of butchery. We bankrolled it. We paid for all of it. We held them up just enough, not so they could win, but so they could stand up and never fall. In an entire generation of Ukrainians and Russians, they're now gone. Hundreds of thousands of lives gone. Butchery. Okay, I got all that. That's what happened. Now Trump starts to run for office. Trump is a foreign policy president, and he's really, really good at it. Even Trump 1.0, which you know I had a lot of problems with COVID and whatnot, even Trump 1.0 was an outstanding foreign policy president. Why is that? Donald Trump spent his entire life flying around the globe negotiating deals with powerful men. That's why. Donald Trump understands when you walk in a room with the Chinese diplomat, with the German diplomat, with this, he understands exactly how to negotiate things. Bottom line, he's really good at it. He's really good at foreign policy. Trump starts running for office and says this Russia-Ukraine stuff has to end. It has to end. It must end. And Zelensky, after Trump's election, starts to chafe against Trump. Starts to chafe enough that he's saying things publicly against Trump. Now, keep in mind, the Russia-Ukraine war without America ends 2.5 years ago. It's been going on, what, 3 years? 2.5 years ago, that war is over without us, if that. We are the Russia-Ukraine war. Our equipment, our stuff has kept Ukraine up. We've given more than all of Europe combined. It is all our stuff. It's our stuff. Zelensky loved that program. Remember when he flew over here and was signing American artillery shells that were coming his way? American politicians, ha, 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 Zelensky, ha, ha. Well, Trump says, hey, it's got to stop now. The butchery's got to stop. So Zelensky starts bad-mouthing Trump. Said that he is living in a disinformation era that just starts dogging Trump. So that obviously is not smart. It was so not smart. J.D. Vance came out and told Zelensky, stop bad-mouthing Trump, please. We're negotiating a peace here. We're negotiating a peace. But you know how Trump is. Zelensky, little moron, publicly dogged on Trump. And, well, you know how that's going to go for you.
Well, we have a situation where we haven't had elections in Ukraine.
Well, we have martial law, essentially martial law in Ukraine. We're the leader in Ukraine. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's down at 4% approval rating. And where a country has been blown to smithereens. You got most of the cities are laying on their sides. The buildings are collapsed. It looks like a massive demolition site. And yeah, I would say that, you know, when they want a seat at the table, you could say the people have to, wouldn't the people of Ukraine have to say, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had an election. That's not a Russia thing. That's something coming from me and coming from many other countries also.
And an election. Let's just focus on that point really quickly. Here's a headline from Newsweek. I'm not even kidding. Zelensky could be ousted as Trump demands a Ukraine election. Well, shouldn't the people of Ukraine, shouldn't they get some say, some seat at the table because they're the ones dying? Maybe they're done with all this. Maybe they're finished with it. But the guy who's currently in charge won't allow elections, and so we have no idea. All we know is what Zelensky's will is. We know what the European will is. We know what the American left's will is. We know what Lindsey Graham's will
Why
is.
Why are you gay?
We know all these things, but what we don't know is what the poor people on the ground think about the butchery that has taken place in that country for the last 3 years. We don't know because they won't allow an election. Now, this is not about being pro-Russia or anything like that. Frankly, I don't really care for Russia, and I definitely don't care for Putin. I don't care for Zelensky either. I don't care for these types of dictators. I don't. They're both dictators, both of them. Putin doesn't allow elections either. He's a dirtball too. But the point of all this is, when we look at things like this, Russia, the bigger country, invaded the smaller country, we have this old World War II Marvel movie way of thinking where the United States of America can and must step in, fight this war, vanquish the enemy with unconditional surrender, and that's the only way this should end, and anything else is caving to Hitler. But that's not how wars generally end. One side, the loser, as of right now, that's not even debatable, that's Ukraine. One side, the loser, yes, they have to give some things up. No, they should not be made to give everything up. That's not how it works. But they, because they lack leverage, they're the ones who have to sit at the table and they have, well, you give up this, give up that. And historically, countries like America, we've done this many times, we tend to mediate these meetings where we go in and we ensure that Russia doesn't take more than they should take. We ensure Ukraine is treated humanely. We don't want Ukrainians to be Russian slaves after this. But this is the only way this ends. And so, look, there's a chance because Zelensky is begging the Europeans. The Europeans are furious about this ending. I guess there's a chance. Maybe these negotiations fail. Maybe we wash our hands of it because Trump will at some point in time. Maybe Zelensky thinks just Ukraine and the Europeans are going to take on the Russian bear. And if that's the case, you know what? I actually bless them to it. I would disagree with the policy, but not my circus, not my monkey. Go have a good time. But it is time for our involvement in this to end. And I, for one, am glad we are trying to end it peacefully with a negotiation. Everyone going through a divorce says things like, she's not getting the car. She's not getting my dog. She's not getting the fine china. Everybody I've ever had who's ever gotten a divorce has said these things to me. She's not getting my DVD set. And she walks away with the DVD set every time. And she says the same things. Ladies say the same. He's not getting it. He's walking away with some things you love every time. It's ugly. We don't like it. It's how it works. It's how life is. Life's ugly sometimes, all right? Speaking of ugly, let's talk about the employment situation in this country. It's ugly. It's hard. I sympathize. If you're looking for help, believe me, look what I deal with. I sympathize. It's hard to find good help. You need to go to ZipRecruiter. You can try it for free. Employers prefer ZipRecruiter more than anything else because that's where all the good employees are. It has smart technology, which will get your job in front of the right person immediately. 80% of employers find someone day one. On day one. It's not like I'm telling you, wait a month. You might find the employee you want today, right now. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That next employee who's not Chris waiting for you. Go. Find him. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of taking care of business, I will get to the emails in a moment. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will make fun of Democrats shortly. We'll talk about this idea about sending us all checks and stuff like that. Just a couple more points really quickly on the Russia-Ukraine thing. I'm going to move on. One, no more of our money. No more of our bombs, no more of our bullets, no more of our money. If they want to keep fighting, if Russia, Ukraine, and Europe, if they want to keep fighting, I bless them to it. I love the United States of America under Trump is trying to negotiate an end to the whole thing so the butchery can stop. If that is rebuffed, then have a nice war. We will watch it on YouTube. All that said, I think a lot of this is bluster. Remember, everyone's staking out a negotiating position right now. No, I'll never end. No, I won't give up these minerals. No, people like to stake out these positions. It's part of negotiation. We've talked about this before. But, you know, Ukraine and Europe. Who's going to go fight that war for Europe? Europe has facilitated an invasion of their country by foreign barbarians that even makes what Joe Biden did look weak, look small by comparison. The only people who would sign up to go fight in Europe's wars would be the native Europeans who would be, you know, Germans fighting for Germany, the French fighting for France, things like that. So you're what? You're going to sign up to go fight for Ukraine against Russia? And you're going to leave the 85 Syrian refugees in town with your wife? Nah, I don't think so. And speaking of Europe, who's going to fund it? People do understand that we, the United States of America, we fund all of Europe's defense. The reason Europe was able to turn into a quasi-socialist state with free this and free that and free this and free that is because they never had to invest in a military that could rebuff Russia. Well, if you're going to take them on, pal, guess what? All those lovely social programs you used to bribe the citizenry to get you elected, those are going to have to go bye-bye. I do believe, with all the bluster we see from Putin and Zelensky in Europe, and I do believe the United States of America, Trump specifically, will be able to end this thing simply because we have the most leverage. Negotiations are all about leverage. Putin has some leverage because, A, he has a bunch of nuclear weapons. B, he currently holds some territory that used to be Ukraine's. That gives him leverage. He holds it. Ukraine can't seem to get him out of it. That gives him leverage. The United States of America has the most leverage by a mile because we've funded the entire thing. We can continue funding and we can end it. We have all the leverage in the world. Ukraine, like it or not, maybe you've got yourself wrapped in a Ukrainian blankie right now, and that's fine. No, not dogging on you at all. Ukraine has no leverage at all. None. They don't have the military to repel Russia. They don't have the funds to keep things going. They don't have any leverage at all. Zelensky has been forced for 3 years to come grovel at the feet of American politicians in order to keep the thing going. The gravy train has to stop. The war must end. I believe it will in the end. But again, if Europe and Ukraine want to go have a good time, enjoy it. Let me know how the Russian winter works out for you. Hey, Jesse, let's do some emails. I enjoyed the show. Jesse mentioned on the air that we had war-gamed Russia. I'm not questioning his accuracy. I would just like to know the source. Keep up the good work. We have war-gamed Russia, but that's not what I said. We have war-gamed China. And this was when I was going off on a rant about American manufacturing and logistics. And, oh, by the way, speaking of logistics, halfway through next hour, we have one of these shipping logistics guys who's going to come on and nerd out on some of that stuff. So just stay with me there. But back to what I was saying, the war with China, if there is a coming war with China, it'll be fought over there. Because that's where China is trying to lock down their control of that area. It's not only Taiwan. It's the Philippines. I woke up this morning, there was another Chinese naval vessel harassing people. China is trying to lock in their sphere of influence. So if we were to actually get into a spicy conflict with China, God forbid, because it would be horrible, it would have to be fought over there. They're not coming here. They don't need to come here. They already own the American media and Hollywood and half our politicians. But setting that aside, it would have to be fought over there. And modern wars, if you're to believe the experts, people I trust, actually real experts, not the morons you see on television. If you're to believe real experts, modern wars, they're going to be missile wars. Kind of scary to think about, isn't it? Because it means you can be touched from anywhere. Especially now that China has hypersonic missiles, Russia has hypersonic missiles, we are rapidly developed and have probably already developed hypersonic missiles. That means they can hit all of us. You, wherever you're sitting right now, listening to the sound of my voice, Saudi Arabia, Texas, Germany, I don't care where it is, you can have a missile land in your lap too. It's scary. It puts all of us on the battlefield. And missiles, a missile war, it makes traditional ways of thinking, it can make them obsolete. We were just talking World War II at the beginning of this hour. One of the things I love the most that fills me with pride about World War II is, sorry, my fellow Marine Corps brothers, the United States Navy in World War II. I talk about them lovingly all the time. It was just awesome. This massive, powerful fleet projecting American power all over the world. Well, why would you pay $500 billion for an aircraft carrier when one Chinese missile can send it to the bottom? A missile war changes things. Back to what we were discussing. War games with China. It's not like we've only fought one. We're trying to figure out how would it go. The problem is not our Navy. The problem is not our Air Force, our Army. It would never be the Marine Corps, of course. Semper Fi. The problem is logistics, missiles. We don't have enough. We don't make enough. Let's say China invades Taiwan or the Philippines or something like that, and we decide we want to go tangle with them. We run out of missiles in a week. If they have plenty of missiles sweeping our Navy off the seas and we don't have missiles to counter their missiles, well, war over. I don't care how many aircraft carriers you have. War over. It's over. That is the problem. All right. We're going to talk a little bit. Well, you know what? Let's make fun of Democrats, and then we'll discuss sending Americans $5,000 checks. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.